Welcome to Chapter 32, Dr. Mark Huntley. Well, shortly after my party, I went back to Denver. Now I was searching for a partner for Ventnor after the debacle in Jersey City. Now the search began again, and the stock had already moved up in anticipation. And so the pressure was on, but I was determined that I was not going to succumb to the pressure in my own mind. I was pressuring myself by selecting a situation that in my heart I didn't feel was quite, you know, up to par. They did it more for convenience. I'm not doing that. I don't care how long it takes. I was so convinced about the Topox medical situation. And when that fell through, then I got to go back to ground zero and start over. Well, I'm in Denver and reaching out to different people. George Ulrich, who I mentioned at my party, George was a consummate salesman and had just seemed to know everybody. He was just a nice guy, fun-loving. And anyway, he had a lot of contacts. And he was a great supporter of what I was doing. Anyway, he comes to me one day and said, listen, he said, they got a situation that I'd like you to, you know, take a look at. He said, you know, they may be a candidate to go public, not as a merger with Ventnor, but on their own. And I said, George, I can't really think about anything else. I really need to focus in on finding a merger partner for Ventnor. And he said, he cajoled me. And because of his support of me, I said, all right, fine. I said, I'll take a look at it. So it was in California, in La Jolla. Basically, George just kept on me until we decided we'd go. So I decided, well, I'm out there, let's get it out of the way. So we rent a car and we drive to La Jolla. And people have asked me in the past, how do you go from Denver to La Jolla? I said, it's easy. You go to Utah and make a left. The person we were going to meet was a Dr. Mark Huntley, who was affiliated with the Scripps Institute of Oceanography in La Jolla, California. Well, we get to the Scripps Institute, and we look him up. We go to his office. His office is so small that they only had two chairs. They had to bring a third chair in. So we're in there waiting for Mark to come in. And I'm looking out the window, and the first time I'd ever been on the West Coast. And it was the most nautical setting. It was truly a marine biology type of setting. I actually thought Jacques Cousteau was going to walk in the door any minute. It was something I had never seen before. Anyway, well, Dr. Huntley shows up. Dr. Huntley was about 30 years old, I'm guessing, and he looked 15. And he had this boyish charm and this, I guess you want to say, twinkle in his eye. But beyond all that, what he really had was a concept to grow commercial grades of algae indoors for the first time ever. 5 minutes into this conversation, I was hooked. Even though this was the last thing I needed in my life at this point, another project. Except between his delivery, his enthusiasm, and what I'll call the what might be factor of what he was talking about and who he was. And that was representing the fact that he was the youngest PhD graduate ever at Scripps Institute. I mean, this boy had his routine together, to put it mildly. And I could sense his excitement and enthusiasm, and it is contagious, and I caught it in 5 minutes. So we agreed that I would get involved, do an offering, not a blind pool. We were going to raise a couple $100,000 to fund the building of a module. And he had identified a location in Borrego Springs, California. The module would be to house the first prototype. And this concept really involves the growing, as I mentioned, and culturing of various species of algae. The system is modular and can produce algae in quantities from research scale needs to industrial amounts. So it was exciting. Basically, it was kind of the beginning of developing the ocean's treasures. Today, we look back, it really kind of was the beginning, because the amount of drugs and other important products to mankind that have been developed in the last 30 years, they started somewhere. And algae has been a major player in the development of the ocean. So it was really cool to be in at the bottom. I didn't know all this at the time, but I knew that he knew that what he was about had some serious credibility. Within a year of this meeting, the company went public. We went public at 400,000 shares at 5 cents. And over the next couple of years, Mark and I worked together. We became friends. But one of the scariest days of my life is when the first module was built. And I went out to La Jolla, and myself and a couple others, including Mark and Marty Granger, who was involved. He was the businessman on this deal. He also lived in Rancho Bernardo, California. Anyway, we take a drive from La Jolla to Borrego Springs. One of the scariest drives of my life. We were driving along like a cliff, and all of a sudden, I can only describe it as a swarm of locusts engulfed the car, and you couldn't see. We had to stop the car about a dozen times on the way out to Borrego Springs to wipe the windshield off, because the windshield wipers wouldn't even remove the goo that these things left. So anyway, when we survived the flight, it seemed like I was flying. It was fascinating to see the beginning of this. And then about a couple months later, they had a serious windstorm and it blew the module down. It wasn't concrete. It was literally a temporary, it looked like kind of like a Quonset hut, I guess. But that's how it all began. And as I mentioned earlier, over the next couple of years, the stock went up. I guess it was 50 cents to maybe a dollar in that range. A lot of it on the anticipation of our track record and what the credibility he brought to the table. But I will say one thing about Mark. The first time he came back to one of my parties, I finally found something that the boy wonder couldn't do. He couldn't dance. I mean, pardon the pun, but he looked like a fish out of water. Another element of Mark that I found quite interesting is one of our very first dinners that we had at a place called the Marine Room in La Jolla, which was my favorite restaurant ever. Jesus, it was, the waves broke on the windows at high tide and it was completely soundproof. But early in our relationship, when I think it was our first dinner, he mentioned to me that he had just gotten back from leading a government-sponsored expedition to Antarctica to evaluate the effects of global warming. I had never heard that those two words put together. This was like in the mid-80s, or maybe 87, 88. And he told me, he said, on no uncertain terms, even with the equipment they had back then, and Scripps had, the most sophisticated marine equipment in the world, he said they, in the 6 weeks he was there, they did identify the effects of some global warming that took place in that period of time back then. So that was kind of an interesting sidelight to this whole story. That was a first for me, hearing the terms global warming. A few years later, Dr. Huntley moved the company to Hawaii, and we kind of lost touch over the years until, I guess, maybe we reached out through Facebook maybe 10 years or so ago. And he, at that point, had communicated with me through Facebook. He was actually in Southeast Asia at the time. He was quite a guy, and probably the best example I've ever seen in my life of brains, enthusiasm, and just overall boyish charm. He was fun to be around, and we had some good times. He came to more than one of my parties back. He liked the party atmosphere, and it was really intriguing listening to somebody, a pioneer in a way, and his vision. I'll never forget that. He was quite a guy. Unfortunately, I've come to find out recently that he had passed away not that long ago, and the world is not better off without Dr. Huntley. Trust me. Up next, what can happen in 4.5 years?